Session number 13580, reel number 1.
Mr. Snell, reel 1. You tell me you were born in County Durham?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Stanley.
Which year was that?
1922.
What did your father do for a living?
He worked in the mines.
Did you go to school in Stanley?
No.
Whereabouts?
In Stainforth and Dunscroft School.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
What were you doing when war broke out?
I worked in the mines and I came out and I went to Lindholm Aerodrome, helping to build Lindholm Aerodrome at Hartfield.
What was that like?
It was just a matter of digging trenches and helping, navvying, really, for want of a better word.
How did you get into the forces?
Well, we went and passed for the Navy, but we had to wait for 6 months, and we didn't want to wait that long, so we went to Doncaster Scarborough Barracks and took the King's Shilling, and a couple of days later we were finished up in Scotland, in Fifeshire.
Which unit was this?
This was the 70th Battalion, the Black Watch. Just a new battalion that had been formed for people joining the army, young people, where we spent some time training. There were no uniforms. Some people had denims, some people had army boots, some people had civilian clothes, and it must have been 4-5 months before people got a uniform. The food wasn't very good. We were stationed in Kirkcaldy in Adam Smith Halls, where we had to queue for our breakfast, our meals, and then we went and there was just the ordinary table, half a tin of butter, half a tin of jam, a loaf of bread, and then you queued up and you had two mess tins. One, you had your breakfast, which was burgoo or porridge, and maybe a slice of bacon, tin bacon, in the same mess tin. You had a knife, fork and spoon. You slept on the floor with three blankets. You went outside to taps outside to wash and shave. And then certain people got lice, so everybody was taken in and deloused.
That head lice or body lice?
Body lice and all things like that. If someone got crabs, they made you shave all the hair off your body, and you were painted with a substance called BB, and this got rid of them. And then as the time went by, we all got uniform. You got your pay on a Friday, which wasn't very much. It was only a shilling a day, and they used to keep a small portion of barrack room damages. We weren't in the barrack room, but they kept a little bit off, and PRI, and we had a few coppers off that. You had to leave a little bit in your credit. You probably finish up with about 2 and 6 in your pocket. Then you had to buy a razor blade, your boot polish, your blanco. By this time you'd got equipment, and you had to blanco it, and You were taken out. In the morning, you had to go on PT, and you got your gunfire, which was a hot cup of tea in the morning, and then you were taken down along the prom at Kirkcaldy, and your gym shorts and vest, and you just jogged along, and we all used to sing. And we were quite happy.
How were Englishmen accepted into a regiment like the Black Watch?
Not very well. The company I was in, there were six chappies from the village. We all finished there, and we were the only English boys there. All the remainder were from around the Glasgow, the Gobles, and very hard.
Were you discriminated against?
After you establish yourself and after one or two little bits of fights and with the English and the Scotch, we were accepted eventually.
Did you get into a fight?
Oh yes, we used to do quite a little bit of fighting in those days. Of course, we were all pretty rough from this area too. We were all mining boys and were quite active boxing, and but things eventually settled down. I remember one chap, he was a corporal, and he'd been fiddling about with the mail, and they got him, and they just about kicked him from breakfast to dinner time. I think he finished up in hospital.
Kicked him in what way?
Kicked him.
Actually booted him?
Oh yes, yeah.
What was he doing with the mail?
He was stealing, and the same as he was looking for post orders, what the parents had sent to boys, and I think he was charged and put into Billinney jail.
Where did he come from?
In Glasgow. And then things improved a little bit, and we were dispersed out to different landships as ground protection for different aerodromes. Was on Lucas.
Which battalion were you in?
This time it was the 70th Battalion. It was known as a boys' battalion. And then about 1942 it changed from the 70th Battalion Black Watch to a Highland regiment. I can't remember any other than it was just known as the Highland Regiment. We were on HMS Conda, which is now a marine depot in Arbroath, guarding the aerodromes and the perimeter in pillboxes. And then we went to... Where did we go from there? Arbroath.
How did you come to be in the KRSP?
Well, eventually, I think it'd be about the end of 1942 or the beginning of 1943, we were transferred into different units, and this is where we all got split up. I was transferred into the 1st Battalion of the King's Own Scottish Borders. They were at Folkestone, and that's where we started to prepare for D-Day.
What did that involve?
Well, after we got settled in into a man's regiment, our life became a little different. And by this time, of course, things had improved, the dining and your uniforms, your bedding and things were all much better than what they were in 1940. And then we moved up into Stubbs Camp, just off Hoyk. And there we used to go up into the north part of Scotland, into Inverary, practice landing on our boats, assault craft, and doing different manoeuvres up into the hills, mock battles, assault courses. We were in the Murray Firth, coming off landing craft. We were going to go to Sicily, to invade Sicily, but I think the Canadians, no, I'm wrong there, it was Dieppe. We were to do the landings at Dieppe, but the Canadians, there was a political ploy, and we were taken off that, and the Canadians went to Dieppe.
That was August 1942, actually.
Yes, something like that. I can't remember the dates. And we were at Stubbs Camp.
How did this landing craft training go?
Well, first of all, in the early part of our training, we used to go down scrambling nets off a large vessel into assault craft with all our equipment, and we were taught how to come down the scrambling net. Using it as a rope ladder. Some of them went into the water, and when you landed, you didn't always land a dry landing. You were sometimes up to the waist and sometimes a little deeper. And then you went out on exercises into the hills, and you just dried off as you walked along, and that was it. Night time, you had to dig a trench, a slit trench, you'd take a platoon position up, different things like that. It was very hard training. There was nothing to march 25 miles, and your company truck would come along with your food. And then you used to do night exercises, mock attacks, flash bombs, and God knows what else. It was really hard training.
Were there any accidents in the training?
Oh yes, there was. I think they were allowed, I think, was it 10% or something, accidents? As high as that, because later on they were using live ammunition to fire over you. As I say, it was quite an experience, and very hard. And of course, when we were all young, 19, 20, 21, of course there was the old soldiers, because the battalion had quite a number of chaps who'd come from Dunkirk, and they were all seasoned soldiers, and most of them were senior NCOs. They were very proud, and eventually you got to feel as though you were a member of a team. And by this time, the English and Scotch, you didn't have that feeling. You were Scotch. You were in a Scotch regiment, you were Scotch. And it was really an experience. In fact, I'm still a soft spot for Scotland, and go back quite often. Then from Stubbs Camp we went to a little place called St. Boswell's to the Duke of Buccleuch's estate, and we were billeted in the kennels. And of course this was 44, and we were all trained up and all ready for to come down south.
What were conditions in the Duke's kennels like?
Well, we had bunk beds. By this time we'd got a nice mattress full of straw, and each platoon had so many we had four sections in the platoon, and you were all the platoon was in different bits of stables and things like that. We were quite warm, and of course we had to clean it up, and everything had to be just so. It had to be clean and square and very regimented. And from there we used to go up to Inverary and all over the place and come back. Had a lot of sport. Cross country, boxing, rugby. We were very fit. Most of us were single men. We didn't care very much what happened. If there was a fight, we got involved in it. In fact, there was a big fight with the Canadians in Hoyk at the dance hall. And even though Hoyk was our hometown, we were banned. We weren't allowed to go into town for quite a number of days because of this disturbance that was caused with the Canadians. It was quite a riot. In fact, we went back to Stubbs Camp and enlisted some more chaps to go back into town, and it was a real shindig.
Did you personally get involved in the fight?
Yes.
Did you hit anybody?
Oh, yeah. No, you didn't mess around.
What did you hit him with?
My fist. The head, put the head in, and boot, anything. They didn't play around, and they were very hard people, the Canadians.
Did you get hit?
Did I get hit? Of course, yes. You don't go into those rays and not come out without being hit.
Were you injured?
Pardon?
Were you injured?
No, just a black eye, maybe a couple of bruises around the nose and eyes. And
what was it all about?
Well, what are these things all about? Stupid things now. Maybe some remark of your regiment or taking a girl on the dance floor. Well, just high spirits, I suppose. Somebody had been drinking, and once one thing started after the other, and before you know where they are, you're a real riot.
Did you see the beginning of the fight, how it started?
No. Just somebody started fighting, and it went from one thing to the other, and before you knew where you are, you were involved. And
so was it just one tribe against another?
Yeah, more or less. It was a right to carry on. They even went back to the camp, and by this time we used to have the 18-inch bayonet. And they even brought those and threatened different people with them. Anyway, as I say, it's a long time ago. And
were the bayonets used?
No, I didn't think anybody was hurt with a bayonet. It was just more or less taken as a just frighten them, I suppose. So, but different fights, all this against the Canadians, there was that little bit of jealousy, and of course they had much more money than what we did, and of course all the girls used to go for the Canadians rather than the poor British Tommy. But as I say, it was all in good part. And in fact, the Canadians landed on the right of our division on D-Day. It was the 3rd Canadian Division and the 3rd British Division, and we got on well together. You had these sort of little tiffs, but when it come down to facing the common enemy, we were all pretty well united. And then, of course, we eventually made our way down to Freckenham, near Waterlooville, to the marshalling yard. We were in the wood there, under canvas, preparing for D-Day. We were down there 2 or 3 weeks. Eventually the King came to inspect us just before D-Day. That, if I remember rightly, around about June the 3rd or 4th, we got onto a landing craft at Southsea. We went out into the channel, and the weather was that bad, we came back and we were told it had been delayed. And then eventually about June the 5th we got onto the landing craft at LCI's, Landing Craft Infantry, with our folding bikes.
What were these folded bikes?
These were bikes that we were supposed to... It's an input idea, if you ask me now. So that it gave us... we could move a little bit faster than marching, because we were supposed to capture Caen on the first night. Anyway, after a rough crossing, we went on deck. We could see the warships, and they were firing, and the smoke on the beach, because we were the second wave. And the 185 Brigade landed first, and then I think we were on the second wave, the 9th. I can't remember the name of the beach or the name of the village, but it was Sword Beach we landed. A lot of the chaps were sick and cold, and all these shells all over the place. And for breakfast we had a tin of one of these self-heating tins of cocoa, and I think we were all a little afraid, nervous. Anyway, eventually we landed with our folding bikes and got off the beach.
How far out did the landing craft stop?
Well, we were lucky. We didn't even get our feet wet. After training, up to the neck in water, the commander of the landing craft infantry, he went over the tannoy and he told us to come hell or high water, he was going to give us a dry landing, which he did. Eventually we got off the beach, and we're marching along and pushing our bikes.
What did you see on the beach when you landed?
Tanks, chaos. Eventually we got off. actual bodies laid around.
Were these destroyed tanks?
Pardon?
Destroyed tanks? Were the tanks destroyed?
No, there's one or two of our own trying to get off the beach. There's a little bit of chaos, but as I said, the excitement, and after our sergeant, platoon sergeant and company, they get off the beach as fast as we could, and we passed on through the village. The thing that's always stuck with me was I looked up and there was a pair of legs on the telegraph wires, and along the pavement there was bodies of the East Yorkshires, and which was really frightening.
What did they look like?
Dead. Some of them were without head, without legs. Wasn't very nice. And then we passed on. I can remember somebody shouting air attack, and we were always trained to jump into the hedge bottom or the dike and take cover. I remember looking up and seeing bicycles going down the road on their own, and this Messerschmitt fired. You could see the bullets going down the road. Eventually that cleared up. We sorted ourselves out and went on. I remember digging in and being mortared and shelled. Morning minis, which was quite an experience. We'd never experienced anything like this. I remember the airborne landing, the gliders, the first night. Which was, I think it built our morale up a little bit, having reinforcements come in.
Had your unit taken many casualties on the first day?
No, we didn't. I don't think we lost any men the first day.
But the East Yorkshires had suffered much more than you.
Yes, well, they did the assault landings. Are you hooked up, eh?
Yes.
There's a map.
We can look at it later.
Yeah. And then from there, we were, I remember rightly, after a few days, we moved on, and we did a night attack on a wood.